Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Good morning, everyone. It's a glorious day in Australia. History was made, belting Pakistan in the semi-final. Paul, good morning. What a result.
Yeah, g'day, Menas. G'day, everybody. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. The Matthew Wade, I'm sure you could go back through the archive of this show and find about 15 instances where I said he shouldn't be in the side, he shouldn't be picked for the World Cup. And I think I said the same thing about Stoinis as well. So I've been proven wrong. I humbly and abjectly thank them for their service to the nation last night. That was magnificent. Those three sixes at the end were some of the most... amazing cricket I've watched in a long time, and coming as it did at 5 a.m. off no sleep for two nights, it was really fun.
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm a massive Matthew Wade fan. I have been for a long time. So this morning at about 4 a.m. it was a glorious moment for my Matthew Wade fandom. You know, he had a rough summer last year. He fell out of the test side. Many people have wondered whether he would play for Australia again, but then he pulled it out of the bag last night. 41 of 17 deliveries with four sixes. Marcus Stoinis, 40 of 31 deliveries at the end. Tremendous effort. They were, you know, in a very precarious position. I mean, tell me, Paul, how were you feeling going into that last four overs with Australia needing 50 of 24 balls?
I was feeling very good because I had lost all hope, and it's the hope that kills you. I had accepted that we had lost, and so I was just moving on with the rest of my life, knowing that I was just thinking, well, I'll still watch the final. It'll be entertaining. New Zealand, Pakistan, I'll enjoy it. And that made it bearable, and I was talking to the screen like a psychopath. I was saying, come on, Matthew, hit a six now. Just knowing it didn't matter because, you know, we hit a six. We're still not going to win. And then he duly hit a six. I said, oh, God, hit another one. And he did. And he hit another one before I knew it. We'd actually won the game. It was just, it was quite amazing. Yeah. It was really, really fun.
Yeah. So we'll go through the game. So the way this is going to work, everybody, lots of people watching and leaving comments. We will go through all the comments soon, but we'll just have a bit of a wrap up first before we get into all that. I know I've made some negative statements in the lead up to this match. I went on Melbourne radio at 7 p.m. last night and proudly declared Pakistan were going to win to a couple of 100,000 people. So that was fun. So we'll get to all the comments, but we'll review the game first. So thanks everybody who's watching. Just to sort of your point there, going to the last four overs, I was actually starting to shift there. I was very negative sort of a couple of overs before when Shadab Khan had sort of run through the middle order. But then when Wade and Stoinis kind of steadied for a couple of overs and Shadab Khan bowled his last over, I was like, you know, Stoinis and Wade are a chance of hitting these bowlers around because it was a decent matchup.
I think my low point had come when Maxwell got out. And I think maybe in the overs after that, I was probably along the same lines as you, but my brain refused to allow that hope to be entertained. And so I was in denial in a strange sort of way.
So, I mean, you know, Australia wins the toss, sends in Pakistan. Jaleesa Apps proudly declares to the whole world that Australia's going through to the final after the toss. She also put that in a WhatsApp group for cricket media, but then deleted that with about six overs to go of the match.
Really?
Very sensible. But I was listening to an English podcast today that made reference to that tweet. So, yeah, so from there on, Australia were obviously in pole position, but Pakistan got off to a great start. They were 1 for 71 at the 10-over mark. Babar Azam had just got out, but they had a really good platform. And, you know, Rizwan made 67 off 52. The story coming out afterwards that he'd been in hospital 2 days before with some kind of chest pneumonia type situation and was very unwell and sort of, you know, bravely pulled himself out of hospital to go into the match. Babar Azam 39 off 34 and Fakhar Zaman a quick fire 55 off 32 at the end with four sixes. What did you think of the way Pakistan approached their innings, Paul?
Well, I mean, obviously to get that many on a pitch where batting first has been difficult, on the face of it was impressive. I just thought that they were a little bit slow to really put the foot down. There was a few overs there where, you know, they had a really good power play, and even Bazid Khan in commentary was sort of making note of that. And I thought they are ultimately going to accelerate and get a pretty good score, but I thought that they might have had 190... 200 within them. And I think it's strange as well that Asif Ali, who going into the match had hit a six every third ball that he faced in the tournament, and ultimately he got a golden duck. But I think by the time he came out, he had to go from ball one. I think when you've got a player that good, that you might as well bring him up the order to give him a chance to have a proper crack. So I thought at the innings break that it was on a knife edge. And I thought that maybe Pakistan had just left a few runs in the shed.
Yeah, I agree. I think they didn't quite go as hard as I expected, as early as I expected. But I have to give credit to a couple of people. Adam Zampa, 4 overs, 1 for 22. I flagged in our preview show that I was worried about how he'd match up against their batters. But he bowled excellently. And what I noticed is about Zampa is he doesn't get a lot of turn, but he's really getting a lot of drop on the ball. It's not quite as flat as it used to be. So it's coming out of the hand beautifully. If you can get past that mullet and just watch the ball coming out of his fingers, it's actually, you know, quite a testament to him, the fact that he was, you know, locked in Byron Bay, unable to train with anybody, just going down to the local school and bowling hour after hour to get ready to this World Cup. You know, a comment was made on Twitter that I've consistently questioned his place in the T20 side. Well, I think I have to eat humble pie on this one because last night was a stellar performance. And, you know, those 4 overs, 1 for 22 was really where, you know, they sort of reined Pakistan in those middle overs.
Yeah, they certainly did. And I haven't been as harsh on him as you, but I have said that there is a gap between him and the very top echelon of bowlers. But last night, certainly, and throughout this whole tournament, he has been in that top echelon. And you had that feeling of how Afghanistani fans must feel when Rashid Khan is bowling or when Adil Rashid is bowling for English fans or et cetera, that you just feel like, ooh, these are going to be four very, very difficult overs. It does sort of raise the question, I suppose, when you look at the scorecard that in the Australian bowling performance, the two most economical bowlers were him and Glenn Maxwell. And when you look at the Pakistan performance, the two most economical bowlers were Shadab Khan. And second most was Imad Wasim, despite the fact that he got absolutely belted in one over from David Warner. He came back with a bang. We're getting ahead of ourselves a bit, but and no, I'm sure this is not going to happen. But maybe we should have Agar or Swepson in the final in place of one of the quicks.
No way. I don't think they can make any changes to the team going into the final at this stage. I think that
is that because you're so afraid of them winning? you're fatter than winning to put pressure on them.
That's right. It's true. I want them to lose.
Yeah, the formula's working in the sense that we won.
I am tipping the Kiwis.
Yeah, it's working in the sense that we won, but I'd invite you to at least consider my statement.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going to. So Mitchell Stark, 4 overs, 2 for 38. You can't drop Stark in the next game. Now, Josh Hazlewood copped it.
Wait a minute, no.
4 overs.
You can't if you want to. I mean, we're trying to win the game. It's not a question of who's deserving.
I'm just saying,
it.
I wouldn't consider dropping Mitchell Stark for the World Cup final. All right?
I would.
And then you got Hazlewood, 4 overs, none for 49. So he copped it last night. But, you know, we've seen in the past every now and then batters can get control of him when they sort of pick up his length early. And if he's just bowling short of a length, he can go the journey. But the other performance was Pat Cummins, 4 overs, 1 for 30. I thought he was excellent. He had one over that was expensive, but right at the end, I think it was the 19th over, went for 3 runs. And you think about sort of fast forward to the end of the game, you know, had that gone for a standard 10 or 11 runs, which is commonplace in the 19th over, you know, we might be talking about a different result. So I thought Cummins played well. So I guess if I'm talking to you, to your question, I would think that if anyone is replaced, it's Hazlewood, but I just think he's a big game player and I wouldn't be messing with the team now.
Yeah, but you don't have to just pick on this last game. You could say, who do you think is more likely to bowl an economical 4 overs in the final against New Zealand, a side that probably prefers pace on the ball rather than pace off the ball? And I don't know who I would leave out, maybe Stark, but I just think Agar or Swepson might actually make the difference.
Well, we'll see. So Australia, the innings break, chasing 177. How were you going into the chase? Because I was nervous. As like you, I thought they'd left a few out there. So, you know, I was relieved we weren't chasing 200. But overall, I had a terrible feeling that we were going to fall quite far short and Shadab Khan would destroy us.
I had that feeling, but I also had the feeling that we might win. And I was oscillating between the two every second. I genuinely remember thinking to myself, I really think this is just a 50-50 proposition right here, right now. And I thought, as long as we can get through the first over from Shaheen Sharafreddy, we might be all right. He got one wicket in the first over. I sent out a tweet saying Australia did well not to lose 6 wickets in the first over. That was one of the best overs I've ever seen.
So Aaron Finch out, LBW to the third ball of the innings. You sent me a message saying he was plumb in front, hitting all three. But in the end, it was hitting off stump. I mean, it was out. It was a very, you know, good shout. So, you know, Finch is out for a first ball duck. And the point was made that that's his third duck in a row in elimination World Cup games, going back to the 50-over World Cup semi-final and then the 20-over, the 50-over final where he got a duck. So three ducks in a row in knockout games. And I put the question out at that point, thinking Australia might lose. I think it's another knockout game. I think
yeah,
it's
it must
three
be the
ducks.
World Cup final, because that semi-final was the game he got 80, where I was famously.
We've spent hours on cricket unfiltered dissecting that innings at the SCG.
But I tell you what,
if anyone could be executed for a slow strike rate, it's Finch on that innings. Do you think Finch is? I mean, I said this might be Finch's last international innings, but he's got the final, but. It was pretty, he looked short.
I hope you've deleted that tweet by now.
No, but I have had a few people reply to it.
No, I think that the crazy thing about that was that if I was Finch all lead up to the game, I would have been saying, don't get out LBW to the one that comes back from Shaheen Sharafreddy. And I bet that's what he was saying as well. But it was an unplayable ball. I think Bradman probably would have reverse swept it for three. He wouldn't have hit it for four. That's how good a ball it was.
Yeah, I think Bradman would have just whipped it through mid-wicket for four, and judging by what I've heard about him. But so he gets out, and then Mitch Marsh comes, and actually, you know, first off, he's caught in front, and there's a run-out chance, but it ball pitched outside leg, so he survived.
No, it didn't. And then, it was umpire's call. Earlier on in the first over, his first ball was umpire's call on impact. Yeah. It was a full toss, umpire's call on impact, and umpire's call at the wicket. So he could have gone.
Yeah, if the umpire Gaffney was it giving him out. So Then I thought Warner and Marsh put on a really nice little partnership. They got the score to 52. Mitchell Marsh, 28 off 22. Warner, 49 off 30. Was it around this time we saw, was it the Muhammad Hafeez triple bouncer?
If you haven't
seen it, it sort of Muhammad Hafeez is an off spinner. It slipped out, bounced about four times, and David Warner. Twice. Okay, he hit it on just on the third. Anyway, dribbled to Warner, and he actually skipped down. And I don't know if anyone remembers Border doing it in the West Indies yep. in the mid 90s, but it was a lot like that. He skipped down and whacked it over mid wicket for six. And can you just let me exaggerate today? I'm not going to like.
It pitched 15 meters off the off
and then
the
he hit it into the next town.
It was rolling. He flicked it up with his foot like Doug Walder said he'd do, and yeah, hit it into the next town.
Yeah. And so that was six off zero because it was a no ball. And you know, I thought, you know, Hafeez was curious, didn't know it was a no ball, but you know, that was bizarre. You never see that in international cricket. The commentators were saying it's the worst ball they've seen in international cricket.
Yeah, and for a minute, Gautam Gambhir sent out a tweet saying it was disgraceful sportsmanship, but he CC'd Ravi Ashwin in, and I think he's actually joking because, like, he's kind of referring to Ashwin's man-catting, and he's actually using sarcasm, which is very dangerous on Twitter because dolts like me at 6 in the morning when you've had no sleep sort of get fired up, and then I realise, oh, he's actually being sarcastic. Well, that's what people assure me. But that partnership, I think that might have come just after Marsh got out. I'm not sure of the order now, but when they were going, when Marsh and Warner were going together, that was probably the only time I felt really comfortable during the whole game. And then I can't be too critical of Marsh because he'd been playing very, very aggressively, but I just thought, given that Warner at that stage had pummeled Imad Wasim out of the attack, Shadab Khan was the big danger. And I think they needed to sort of treat him with respect and say, let's just aim for four overs, none for 22 for him, and get the runs off someone else. I just thought Marsh trying to pummel him out of the over mid-wicket and then a couple of others doing the same was a bit disappointing.
Yeah. I thought when Warner and Marsh were together that Warner was going to win us the match because he looked as good as I've seen him. I mean, he even looked better against the West Indies because I think the bowling was of much higher caliber that he was taking on in this match. And, you know, Warner's 49 off 30 deliveries, Mitchell Marsh 20 out of 22. But then Marsh gets out in the seventh over. He's caught Afis Ali Bolt, Shadab Khan. Then Steve Smith comes out and gets to five off six and tries to hit Shadab Khan over mid-wicket. He gets caught. So we're 3 for 77 in the ninth over. You sent me a message blaming Shane Warne and Menas for that dismissal.
I didn't actually blame you, but I like that your ego has added yourself in alongside Shane Warne.
I told you I'm going to exaggerate this whole show. I'm exaggerating this whole show now.
Yes, it was you and Warney, the two. Just like you used to dominate the spin twins, you've dominated again now. I was just angry, but I just thought, he seemed to be batting like a cat on a hot tin roof, Smith, and he didn't need to. That I thought that there was actually the perfect scope for a few overs of the Smith that you're kind of not all that happy with, of just run a ball, feeding the strike to his partner, and playing a little bit like Dhoni would have at the time, that we had that in us. And just for him to play that ultra-aggressive shot at that point then, I didn't think it was necessary, and I was just a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're right. Warner was in such good form. He could have just got him on strike and bide his time. But, you know, I guess I'm not going to criticise him for that because I think, you know, Australia needed to at some point try and go at them. So he gets out. Then Warner goes in the 10th over. He's out caught behind. Now, this is the one that I'm sure you have a lot to say about, Paul, because you love DRS. Warner slashes at a ball, the keeper and the bowler go up. He walks off. Everyone thinks, okay, little edge. It was clear as day on the replay. There was daylight between the ball and the bat. What happened?
I think we could start a new podcast based solely on this dismissal. 50 episodes we could do. Firstly, the saddest thing was that you seem to have a little bit of a lag. You're like two balls behind me. And
oh yes,
Warner on my screen got out, and I'm like, oh, the desolation. And then the SMS from you comes in, as long as Warner plays, stays in for the next five overs, we'll be all right. And I was like, oh, Menas, you're back in time. I feel for you, the heartache that you're about to experience. But yeah, it was one of my many periods when I was watching with the commentary down. So I was muted. And so I wasn't for a millisecond sure what had happened. And then I said, oh, please, Warner, please challenge this. And then when he didn't, I thought, oh, obviously he's hit that and he's walked off. I didn't give it another thought until then the replay. I mean, there's no spike and there's a gap of about 3 centimeters between bat and ball. I think it shows again that batters don't always know that old truism. And I go on about it, how everyone used to say, you always know when you've hit it. I've seen too many times now where batters have been given out LBW. There's an inside edge that they didn't know about. They didn't challenge it. And now the reverse where he's actually missed it.
Don't always know. They most of the time know, but not always. And that was very strange of Warner not to refer it if he didn't feel it come off the outside
edge. He must have felt
edge.
He felt a creak in the handle or something like that. There must have been something that he felt because otherwise, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
So this is when my mood plunged, because until then I was thinking it's going to be Davey Warner's day again. And he gets out and, you know, Maxwell is out. He's joined by Stoinis because Maxie's already out there. And it's set up for the big show. He's had a quiet World Cup with the bat. And it's not the first time this has happened. In the 50-over World Cup in 2019, he had a very quiet tournament. And actually, I was listening on SEN Radio to the radio commentary and I'd muted the TV. And I was listening to Darren Berry. And he was making a point that, you know, it was due. Maxwell's due to deliver in a big situation for Australia. Well, last night was not it. He tried a reverse sweep, which you can't criticize because he hit so many. Well,
no, I can. But I can criticize.
You can't. Well, I can't. But he was out for seven.
I'm allowed. Everyone knows I'm allowed to say whatever I want about Glenn Maxwell because I love him so much. That is,
yes,
he's my favorite player. But I just, again, a bit like Smith. It was crying out for Maxi get to 12 off 12, particularly against Shadab Khan. Don't try and reverse sweep their best bowler when you just don't need to. And I know that's the way he plays.
He was 7 off 9 then. Like, he wasn't at first ball. Like, the run rate was getting to 12 and over. Run rate required. He needed to do something.
But it was his last over, wasn't it? It was Shadab Khan's last over, I think. I think he could have just milked it for that over and then gone. But anyway, you know, I must say, for a millisecond off the bat, I thought it was going for six and I was cheering and I was happy. And I was like, yeah, that's the way you play. So I'm a hypocrite.
So Shadab Khan, you're right. 4 for 26 off 4 overs, an incredible spell in the middle there. And when Maxi gets out, Australia's 5 for 96. And gone. I'm telling you, it's curtains for me. And I'm thinking, honestly, I was thinking, this has turned out exactly the way I expected. Fallen to their spinner, and
you're
that'll
smirking,
cost us a
you?
Spot in the fight. Yeah, and I was also thinking, oh, thank God, I can tell Paul. Well, they don't always win if they win the toss.
This
but
is
that,
the point
you know,
where
that didn't happen.
You sent Jaleesa and me an image of the Pakistan flag, I believe.
Well, no, I said I said who's going to win from here, and then I sent the Pakistan flag.
I just saw that flag. I thought he's turned on us.
As we know, I was two balls behind, so you know, it's like an hour after the game. and then it's, you know, Australia got down to needing 50 off 24 deliveries. And, you know, a lot has been made of Hassan Ali. Well, it started off with Hassan Ali getting in the way of Stoinis when they were looking to come back for two in, I think, the 17th or 18th over. Stoinis hit one down the ground. He gets down the other end and Hassan Ali kind of blocks him and they can't take two. And Stoinis is annoyed. But Wade looks like, you know, the little general, the little Napoleon of the Australian cricket team was fired up. And they took some runs off him. And then in the 19th over, Shaheen Sharafreddy's bowling to Wade. He hits one into the outfield. Hassan Ali's coming in, drops the catch. And then after that, Wade hits three sixes and we're through to the final. It was quite poetic and theatrical.
We needed 21 off 10. And when I was watching it on the replay, I watched the replay straight after it, this time with the commentary, because I was too nervous to watch it with the commentary the first time. When I say the replay, just the last two overs. So we needed 21 off 10. We actually got them off 4. So if someone had said, actually, that was 21 we needed off the final four balls, we would have been 1,000,000 to 1. He bowled a wide. Then there was that sky shot out where Hassan Ali dropped it. I felt dreadfully sorry for Hassan Ali. He's almost in tears later on. You have to feel sorry for someone like that. And then the next shot, it's one of the best shots I've ever seen. It's 148.
Wade! Yes!
148 kilometers an hour.
Yes!
And Wade has lapped him, the sort of the dill scoop, over leg slip for six. And it was just like, that is an outrageous shot. And we started Cricket Daily with some audio from a Wade press conference about 6 weeks ago, where he talked about, luckily if I do come in towards the end, I've got some good methods for scoring runs at that point. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, sure you do, champion. Well, yeah, he did.
And then the next one is a short ball and he hits it over square leg, 100 meters. And that's when the messages...
96 meters.
That's when the message is 3,000 kilometers.
It orbited the Earth and landed in
Japan. Yes. Went around the circumference and came back. Yes. But that's when the messages started flying into me. Ah, man, it's Wadey. My year of Wade dedication has paid off. And then he just finishes it with another flick over a fine leg, was it? Sort of over the keeper almost for six.
Yeah. It was just unbelievable. 3 sixes to finish the game.
And, you know, the two semi-finals have a very similar thing in that New Zealand needed 57 off 24 balls and got it with six to spare. Australia needed 50 off 24. And if you'd said to us, we'll do it with an over to spare, I would have choked. But we did it with an over to spare. On that catch, Matthew Wade said after the match that he feels the momentum had already shifted before Ali dropped that. And he, you know, obviously it's a moot point, but he was saying he didn't think he got asked it about five times, the same question. Was that the turning point? And he said he thinks the turning point was probably an over or so before.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't think the momentum's the sort of, I think it's not so much the momentum, it's the fact that Matthew Wade would have been out.
I think he was, of course. He was backing the team to win from there, of course. But
I think if you'd taken that catch, Stoinis would have been on strike, and the way that he was playing, with Cummins down at the other end, it certainly still would have been possible for Australia to win, but I think it would have been, 80-20 in favour of Pakistan probably.
Now, was it an over before the 19th or the 17th where Stoinis just started to open up and he hit one over mid-wicket like a tracer bullet, he hit one past the bowler so hard it almost killed the umpire, and, that was a really fine innings from Stoinis because I so expected him to get to, a runner ball 15 and then get out. He actually went on and he just, collared the bowling at the right time, gave Wade a few balls to get a cider. It was, it really showed his experience that he's gained for the Delhi Capitals batting down the order in those tight situations.
Yeah, and he proved me wrong because he came out and I've often said I can envisage him coming in exactly this situation against quality spin and either getting out straight away or getting becalmed. I think he had three dot balls first up. If I'd been in that situation, I would have panicked and hit a reverse sweep and got out. He kept his composure and built himself into a really fine innings. He'll be overshadowed by Wade's brilliance, but fantastic innings from Stoinis and, thoroughly enjoyable as an Australian fan.
Absolutely. And actually both of them, Wade said afterwards that both of them had gained a bit of confidence from that South African partnership in the first game where they saw Australia home. So, look, tremendous effort. Now, Paul, anything you want to say on the review? But then I think we should get into all the questions and comments. Anything you want to add before we do that?
Let me just see. I did write some notes. Is there anything else that... actually, one little point that they mentioned in the commentary, but when Rizwan got hit a fearsome blow by, I think, Mitchell Stark, and he showed great courage to continue with a mounting bulge on the side of his face where he got hit. And there's a nice scene where Finch and he sort of checked on his well-being and they had a laugh together. It was played in pretty good spirit, the game. And Sonny Gavaskar in commentary said that the tournament itself has been played in good spirit, and I agree with him, which has been really, really pleasant to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into the questions. Before we get into the questions, just one note, Paul. I listened to the tape from yesterday where you accused me of not listening to you. And I think the point, I think you missed my point. And I could see maybe why you thought that. But I was trying to say I didn't want Australia to mess around with the batting lineup. And I didn't quite get there. And therefore, it might have sounded like I was saying I wanted us to lay a platform, but I was listening. My whole point was I didn't want us to throw in Smith at three. But anyway.
No, I heard that again. I listened to it again driving, and I heard that, and I thought, actually, I was a bit unfair on Menas then. I sounded a bit like I was a bit petulant. So,
no, be petulant all you want.
I withdraw all those allegations.
What was that? All right, next question or next comment. This is from Reese Kemp. Is Menas eating humble pie after all his negativity pre-World Cup? Paul, don't let him off. Well, I have to say I've been pleasantly surprised by Australia's.
I'll tell you what.
Go on.
We've got a lag, Menas. We've got a big lag. We're going to have to. We're going to have to manage this a little bit in terms of ensuring that we don't talk over the top of each other. Somehow I think I'm about 5 seconds delayed now. Reese, what I'm going to do is, if Australia win the final, I will go back through the audio and find some choice quotes from Menas and maybe even Jaleesa as well to just put them in their place. But I think that at the moment, I'll wait to see what happens in the final. If we lose the final, then I won't feel like doing it.
You're coming in and out, Paul. Is your internet okay over on your end? Can you just check? Because half of what you said cut out.
All right.
But you just check your internet. Paul, basically, if you didn't hear all that, said that, you know, Menas is usually right. He's usually spot on with his analysis. And on this time, he's erred. All right. Next question from Vinay P. Menas must be mad at the result. Now there is too much pressure on Australia for the home World Cup. Now, Vinay, I actually am not mad. I think this is perfect for Australia. We lose the World Cup final to New Zealand. So, you know, next year when we're hosting the tournament, Australia's got, you know, the Australian public can be confident it's a competitive side, unlike going into this tournament, they thought it wasn't competitive. But if we lose to New Zealand, there's not too much pressure. It's beautifully set up. Nice question back here from Vinay. You're back.
Am I? Yeah. No, I think the point there, Vinay, is Menas is like someone saying, oh, geez, I know that I've trained for the 400 meters all these years, but I don't want to win the gold medal because that might mean in 4 years' time I might be under too much pressure. So I better not win.
That's it. All right. Condi Rice is back, the former Secretary of State from the US. Poor sportsmanship from Warner. What? I don't know if it was the opposite of poor sportsmanship. It was the Adam Gilchrist World Cups where he walked when he shouldn't have.
I fear she might be referring to the six off her fees. That was... Yeah, anyone in the world would have hit that for six. It would have at least tried. So, yeah. Gautam Gambhir was being sarcastic. Yeah.
It's international cricket. If you can't make a bounce normally and on the pitch, you...
Yep.
And how good was that win, fellas? Well, I still put it slightly behind the win off when Michael Hussey hit us there in 2010. I still think, the tournament's gained in popularity. It was a great win.
The good thing about Hussey's win is that we didn't win the final, so we didn't put pressure on ourselves for the next tournament. So that was good.
Yeah, and we probably won't win this final either. All right, here we go. Do you want to read this one out from Aiden?
If Finch underdelivers in the finals, does he lose his spot for next year's World Cup? If he does lose his spot, who replaces him at the top of the order, and who replaces him as captain of the squad? Menas.
Well, I actually think there is real concerns now about whether Finch will actually make it to the next T20 or 50 over World Cup. I wouldn't be surprised if this tournament is his swan song and next summer Australia decides to go a different direction. He's not of the caliber he was 3 years ago, maybe even less than that. So, I think he's in real danger of losing his spot come Australian summer. And then who replaces him? I would say Pat Cummins.
Yeah, I think it will come down to his performances subsequent to this. I think that no matter what he does in the final, and that Australia will persist with him, unless he retires, Australia will persist with him in the next series of T20 games, wherever they may be. And he'll live or die by his form in those games and in franchise cricket as well. I certainly think that his position will be under some scrutiny, but if he keeps on if he starts performing halfway decent again, I think he'll still make it to this upcoming T20 World Cup in Australia. The 2023 50 over World Cup, well, obviously that's going to be a bridge further. Not as confident that he'll make it to that, but you know, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, and who replaces him at the top of the order? One thing I think Australian cricket is not short of is top order T20 players. The usual spot that's the problem is the middle order. So there's, you know, a whole list of players who you might stick up the top there. Some even in this team, you know, maybe Stoinis does what he does for the Melbourne Stars. But certainly a question from Jose. Wade's finest moment in international cricket. That's a comment. I agree.
Yes, and I liked his point in the post-match interview where he said that he felt like he was repaying the selectors' faith in picking him again for this second incarnation. And it was really nice to see, because as much as Menes has been a massive Wade fan, I've kind of enjoyed his resurgence as well. And it's been a little bit sad that he's been so dominant at sort of franchise level and domestic level and hasn't quite delivered at the top level. So this has all been put to bed by that innings, and yeah, definitely his best moment.
Yeah, he does have four test centuries, so he's certainly an accomplished player. And it is a wonderful story. You know, a couple of years ago, he was on a building site, you know, contemplating a career as a tradesman because he'd lost his spot as a wicketkeeper, and then turned himself into a batter and has now, you know, got that position as the T20 keeper. So it was terrific. Scott Martin, Menes' admiration for the little general must have been on full display. I was thinking, get him up here. I want to buff him. Yes. And that's exactly what I was thinking, Scotty. It was joyous scenes on my lounge room. It was just phenomenal. Yes, Matlock, very proud of the little general. Those three sixes. Yeah, Jose's made a comment that Stoinis is known for not delivering in the big occasion, but he certainly did last night. All hail the toss, Robert Fairhead, one of our great.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to say, though, this match, I don't feel it was decided at the toss. You can say it was, but I actually think it was decided on Pakistan's performance and the matchups.
Oh, it certainly wasn't like it was a, you know, some of the games that we saw earlier in the tournament where Pakistan beat India by 10 wickets or England beat Australia by 8 wickets. And they were saying that there wasn't that much due in evidence. But Finch did say that it does seem still that under lights, as the lights bite later in the night, that it does get a little bit easier for batting. We'll never know, but it might not have been a toss that resulted in a 50-run differential. But it might have been just enough that if you could somehow replay the whole game but with the toss differently, maybe Pakistan would have squeaked it in a close one.
Swaraj Chavan. Thank you to the Oz team. Diwali was a sad occasion as India was knocked out of the World Cup. Now that Pakistan is out, it's Diwali once again. Yes, I'm sure there was many millions Indian fans who were thrilled to see Pakistan crash out at the hands of Australia. So it's an, you know, unintended benefit.
Some of my good friends from India but live in Australia now, been cheering on India the whole tournament. All of a sudden last night, it's all this Aussie, come on. they were loving it.
And Scott Martin's made the point about Steve Smith dropping a catch. Never see that. Very rare. Some of the best hands in the game. I'm just going through these comments. Yeah, I was thinking it was all over for Australia when Maxi got out. Oh, this is Daniel Nayland. Conway is out of the final with a broken hand. Well, thanks for all the people that have sent comments in, and thanks to everyone that's been watching. There's been a lot of people viewing. Paul, is there anything you want to say? I think we'll reconvene maybe on Sunday and do a little preview of the final, but sort of early sort of feelings about the matchup between Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah. Very hard to pick. I mean, it's in prospect a great game.
Don't say it.
I won't say it. I will not refer to the toss of the coin at all. That will have no impact on the result. But look, I suppose at this stage, I'd say 55-45 Australia, but with no confidence that it could come down to a knife edge.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of thinking the Kiwis deserve this one after we towed them up in the 2015 final. They had the painful loss in the 2019 50 over World Cup. I do think they're due, but there is something to the fact that for some reason New Zealand do dip when they come up against Australia. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's a century of history that plays into their psyche. I'm not sure, but you know, even a couple of years ago, they came to Australia on a test tour as, you know, a very accomplished test side, and we absolutely flogged them 3-0. And it's a good matchup for Australia. But fingers crossed, the Kiwis get the job done.
What do you want about, Minas? Something cheering on New Zealand like a goose. Now, I think that they've underperformed against Australia in test cricket, but not because of anything other than that Australia's been a better test side. I think in white ball cricket, there's no kind of hoodoo like that. And the notion, you've asked me not to talk about the toss, and then you're suddenly talking about something as silly as their due. The only factor that due will play is the stuff on the ground.
I actually they were asked about the due after the game, and apparently it wasn't as heavy as it has been previously. So
yeah, as I said a few minutes ago.
Yeah. All righty. Well, everybody, thanks everyone for watching this live show. Paul, I'll say it on air, but I think we need to do a preview on Sunday, a quick one of these, just to loosen up for the big game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to talk about maybe watching this final together, maybe in studio. It could be a momentous night for Australian cricket. So thank you, everybody who's watched and listened, and we'll be back in the next few days.
See ya.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.